Dave, this ain't your mama's Snow White. Charlize Theron is Ravina, the evil queen. Kristen Stewart is Bella Swan as Snow White. And Chris Hemsworth is Captain Kirk's dad as Thor as the Huntsman. Is Snow White and the Huntsman a bold reimagining of a classic tale? Or is this princess better off without True Love's Kiss? We'll review the big releases on Blu-ray and DVD for June 12th, then wrap it up with an inventory of the worst actors in the biz. And when I say the biz, I mean the industry. So settle in and listen to two loads judge the art of people who've actually done something with their lives for the first run.
The sound of battles fought and lives lost. It once pained me to know that I am the cause of such despair. But now, their cries give me strength. Beauty is my power.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is fairest of them all?
You are the fairest, but there is another destined to surpass you. Consume her heart and you shall live forever.
Find me someone who doesn't fear the dark forest to hunt her down.
Why is she of such value?
That is none of your concern.
And if I refuse?
Lips red as blood. Hair black as night. Bring me your heart, my dear, dear Snow White.
So, Dave,
this
week we saw Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yeah, we did.
A film I've been looking forward to.
You have been?
I have been. I like the original Grimm fairy tales, the real ones, the dark, violent ones. And this looked to be basically a take on that, bringing the Snow White tale back to its Grimm roots, if you will. So, Dave, how was this version of Snow White to you?
Well, before I answer that question, I'd like to ask you, have you read recently the Grimm version of this tale?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Okay, because I was going to ask, how accurate is it compared to that? Because really the only knowledge of this story I have is the...
Disney's version?
Disney version. You know?
Right.
And this is very different, so I was just wondering, did they make a bunch of stuff up, or...
Well, I think the general tropes of the Disney film are the same, where she's a princess and she's locked away, and she's the little queen thing is still there. The dwarves are there, all that stuff.
Yeah,
the huntsman he brings. Which one thing is just missing, unfortunately, is the pig's heart in the case type thing. But I guess you need to keep Hemsworth's characters going throughout the film. But eventually, honestly, no, I couldn't really tell you.
Okay, that's too bad. So, what was the question again?
Is this reimagining this version of Snow White, not the Disney version?
Yeah,
did it deliver for you?
I don't know that it did. If you're gonna reimagine a movie, I think it'd be wise to not just pull a bunch of parts out of other movies and just stick them in like kind of a classic tale.
What do you mean? Example?
A lot of this movie felt to me. Like I had already seen it, like in Braveheart or in
Lord of the Rings, maybe.
Yeah, or that Joan of Arc with what's her name? I can't remember them. I think it was called The Messenger.
Yeah, Jovovich.
Which wasn't a particularly good movie, but it just there was a lot of similarities, and it kind of made me wonder, like, if you're gonna reimagine a story, why don't you try and be a little more original about it?
Right.
You know what I mean? Also, try not to get somebody with Down syndrome to play Snow White.
Come on! She does not have Down syndrome. Even if she did, it would be like a dusting. Okay. Let's get into it. So, everybody's familiar with the tale of Snow White, you know, who's the fairest of them all, the jealous queen with the powers, the witch, basically a witch. And she put Snow White into that coma by having her eat the poison apple, which I think was a neat little twist to how they did it with the how to get her to eat the poison apple.
Yeah, I was wondering the whole Disney movie version. How they were going to do that, and I did like how they did it. Yeah. I thought that was creative.
So, but there's no glass coffin like there is in the, I believe the glass coffin is in the original fairy tale.
Is
well,
it? That's not a Disney creation. How about the names of the doors? Is that a Disney creation?
Yes. It is. Yes, I believe so. So, for me, the film started off very promising.
Yes, I enjoyed
the battle in the beginning.
Yep.
How Charlize Theron's character, when we meet her and her specifically, her wedding night with the king, I enjoyed that a lot as well. But for some reason, for me, it had all these promising beginnings, some great visuals.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I loved the kind of gothic feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
But then as the film progressed, it just kind of went flat. It kind of lost everything that I hoped that it was going to have.
It was about a half hour too long, I felt.
Yeah, it just, for some reason, I don't know, I was wondering about this too, if I'm clouded by the fact that this is Snow White. Because I have such lofty expectations for something like that. Like, maybe if this was a totally original tale, would I have enjoyed it more?
Maybe, because there were certain story points that they almost had to hit.
Yeah, that you're looking for.
Yeah. I was wondering the same thing, too. Like, imagine if they did kind of like a Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where the movie's based on something, but they just basically don't say anything about that. They
right.
Just, you know, okay, this is based on Snow White, but we've changed all the characters' names, you know, we've just kind of loosely based it on that original story. One of the major problems for me with this movie was that I didn't like any of the three main characters.
Really?
I'm like the three good guys.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like any of them.
Okay.
Especially Kristen Stewart.
Right.
But who's the guy who plays Thor?
Chris Hemsworth.
I didn't find he was particularly good. I didn't like him that much at Thor either. He's kind of flat to me. And the guy who plays, he's not Prince Charming.
William Sam Claflin.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, IMDb. I didn't find he was very compelling at all.
No.
The three of them together, they're supposed to be, I think, this like kind of love triangle, and but it just...
There's really no trace of it.
No. There was no chemistry there, I didn't think.
The problem for me, the whole thing is it's just flat, and it's... You can't give me the story of Snow White, introduce these kind of, at times, gorgeous, awesome visuals, and hand me a movie that's this dull.
It's dull, right? It is dull.
There's no heart to the film. There's no life to it. It's just flat. The film's almost inert. And I was really disappointed because when I saw the trailers, it looked like it could be a really interesting take. And they really could have done so much more with this. I wish they were more ambitious in the presentation of this film. It's just that it starts off interesting, but it's empty, and especially Charlize Theron for some reason, she starts off so interesting as a character, I thought, and then eventually she just turns into this woman who's just basically screaming her lines and walking around.
Yeah.
That's all she does for pretty much after the first quarter of the film.
Yeah, and her interaction with her brother, I felt like I've seen that in a 10 different movies.
Mm-hmm.
Charlize Theron, she was. She was good, like you said, in the first, 15, 20 minutes of the movie, I was, kind of digging her.
Yeah.
It was nice to have a evil queen that had, some actual motivations.
Right.
But I felt like that all disappeared, and she just became this, evil archetype.
She became more of a caricature than she was a character at that point.
Yeah.
You're entirely right. What I thought was interesting, too, was the dwarves. They're all played by well-known, accomplished actors. I mean, we have Ian McShane, Bob Hoskins, Ray Winstone, Nick Frost, Eddie Marsden, and Toby Jones. They're all, big-time English actors. And I thought that was kind of neat. I'm glad they weren't throwaway characters, and I love how they handled their... they basically did, a Lord of the Rings thing where they basically shrunk down the actors. They actually didn't have actual dwarves or
visually,
little people,
really,
whatever the
really
offensive
cool.
term is. But I also think, too, it got a little lazy. It went back to that same well. And when it comes back to the final battle in the castle, where we have the introduction of the fake army in the beginning of the film.
Yep.
And then we kind of have the same thing again later on.
Yep.
I would have liked maybe have seen something a little different, a little more, just something fresher and newer.
Yeah.
Stewart, what can you say about Kristen Stewart?
She's got one expression.
That she delivers the entire movie. She delivers her two expressions with earnestness. She really is dedicated. There's this befuddled, I don't understand what's happening look, and this determined look. And that's all she has.
I don't see the difference between those two looks with her. I only see the one. And she's open mouth breathing.
She's clearly a mouth breather.
Yes. Oh my God. When she was a child, her mother should have just kept slapping her on the chin. Close your mouth. Close your mouth. Close your mouth.
I'm trying to think if that's her crutch. Because I remember, like, for me, I know one of my favorite actors, when he first started, had this huge crutch that he always went to, George Clooney. Mm-hmm. Had this thing where he would tilt his head and then look up at you. That was his thing. Mm-hmm. He did it all the time. And eventually, finally, he kind of broke that. It's really bad, like, if you watch something like From Dusk Till Dawn. He pretty much does it, like, in every other scene.
Really?
But Kristen, she has that thing where she just that agape, open mouth, looking up. Now, there are times where she looks absolutely stunning in this film.
And I don't find her to be particularly attractive. Her to be playing the most beautiful person in the world just doesn't jive for me.
I feel for me that, but I'm gonna say this too. I think she has it in her. I think she can pull this off at some point. I don't know if she just hasn't found the right character, the right venue
she's
for her.
She's still very young, right?
I think so. And then, or she just hasn't worked with the right director to pull her out of it. I mean, you're not going to get any real acting achievement out of the Twilight films. She was born in 90, so she's what, 22? Okay. So I feel like she could pull. She's got it maybe at some point. Because I got to tell you, even though she can't really emote, she still looks great on the screen. She has that quality to her. So it's a matter of maybe just kind of figuring out the whole acting thing.
She looks to me, yeah. She looks to me like she is a stupid person. She looks like just a blank.
My issue with her is that role of Bella in the Twilight films. She is. It's just so bad, especially the first films too. It's just. It's constantly. Just love Lorne or Crestfallen. It's constantly, oh my God, you know, just, it's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
I feel like she brought that character into this movie with her.
Maybe, I mean, yeah, I'm hoping she's not a one-trick pony, but maybe, you know what, maybe she is.
Yeah.
So, Dave, I gotta ask you. I mean, clearly, it looks like we were underwhelmed. That's how I would describe it. I was underwhelmed by Snow White. I really thought they could have done a lot more with it, but it didn't. It's flat for me. So what would you recommend for people?
I can't recommend seeing this at all. I mean, it was just completely throwaway to me. Yeah, not even rent it.
It's got mixed reviews. Like on Metacritic, Rotten Tomatoes, it's hovering around 47, that 47-50% range. Oh, yeah? The reviews are definitely mixed. What's so frustrating for me, as I said, is that the seeds are there for an exceptionally interesting film for me that could have been fantastic, and it's just it's overwatered, and it's like I said, it's flat and dull. I guess maybe you could rent it, but if you're a Stewart fan, it's going to deliver exactly what you're looking for from Kristen Stewart. Notice too how little dialogue she had in the film. She really didn't say much at all. Maybe that was they're trying to protect her.
You know, there's this interaction with animals. Mm-hmm. You know, that they kind of go with. And I don't know if that's from the Grimm or if that's from Disney. You know, in Disney, she sings, the animals sing with her. Yeah, you know? And it's just, it feels really bizarre in this movie, having Kristen Stewart with that, like, open mouth, blank look. Mm-hmm. And, like, all these animals are just, like, reacting to her. Just, it does not work in any way.
You know what's funny? I was I'm actually a fan of the original Disney film. I know I'm going out on a limb.
Yeah.
But I actually love the I'm Waiting, which is from the film. I love that song. I don't know, I've always loved it. And I played it once for like a couple friends of mine, and they're like, "How could you?" Because it was from the 40s.
Yeah, the recording. Is
so the vocalization, the high pitch and the voice of it, people are like, that is horrible. How can you listen to
it's,
it?
It's like it's overdriving the microphone that it's being sung into.
Yeah, but I love it. So, but either way, I guess I can't really recommend it to either. Yeah. So that's it.
Skip it.
Snow White is playing everywhere. Excuse me, Snow White and the Huntsman is playing everywhere. If you've had a chance to see it, we'd love to hear your thoughts, of course.
Oddly enough, the second Snow White movie that's come out this year.
Shoot us an email at thefirstrun@gmail.com. Did you see ever see that old that kind of, I think it was a straight to DVD film, Snow White, where Sigourney Weaver played the Evil Queen?
No.
It's interesting. It's even darker than this.
Yeah.
And I saw it so long ago. I think I liked it. Obviously, it didn't have that big of an impact on me, but I can't describe it, you know, but I'm pretty sure I enjoyed it. I kind of, like I said from the beginning, I enjoyed kind of the Dark Returns.
Yeah, you didn't see the one that came out earlier this year, did
No,
you?
The Mirror Mirror with Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
That looked so saccharine sweet. I just had no, and the humor part of it.
Yeah.
The whole thing when they do the love potion and she gives him puppy love and he follows around like a dog and actually barks and stuff on the trailer, I was like, that's it. I am not watching this.
That sounds terrible.
So anyway, I wanted to spend a brief minute too. I also got a chance to check out Chernobyl Diaries.
I wanted to
tell you about that.
Yeah, let's hear about that.
Now, I love Chernobyl. I like the concept of it. And you had told me, of course, I said, well, I don't know why this hasn't been tackled before. And I guess it has been in other media.
Yeah.
So it's about a bunch of people who go. They're tourists in Russia, and they actually go to the this town next door to Chernobyl. And of course, there's still something going on there. I guess it's mutants or people who never left. And there's a twist ending. I don't want to spoil. I love horror films. And I've actually posted on our page too and on Twitter that I was a victim of my own love for horror films. It's
not a good movie.
No, it's. It doesn't. Here's my big problem with a lot of the modern horror films. They're not scary anymore.
Well, that might be also because you're getting older.
I don't know, but I watched some foreign films, and those tend to deliver.
Yeah.
Like Wreck 2, which I watched a couple months ago. I enjoyed that a lot. But basically, it's they're on the run from these mutants, and they're trying to figure out how to get out of this village.
How similar was it to that one? I think they actually made two of these. The one that happened out in American Southwest. With the mutants that were, living in the...
The Devil's Rejects and House of 1,000 Corpses? Oh, you're talking about Hills of Eyes.
Hills of Eyes, yeah.
Okay, well, I love the remake of the Hills of Eyes by Alexander Aja. I actually think that's better than the original Wes Craven film, the remake. The second one's, obviously, it's not that good. But I would say this is below those.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a great concept that they basically...
You're right, it is a great concept.
That they piss away.
It's a foreign land to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have that you could feeling go in any direction, exactly. You know, so you can have all sorts of political drama, you know, it could be a really cool setup.
And it starts out interestingly enough and creepy enough, but just never really pays off, and it's kind of dumb.
National Geographic had an issue, I think a year ago, but I think their entire issue was...
About Chernobyl?
Yeah, and it was stunning, because it's just a completely abandoned place since, was it 1980s?
Something like that, maybe the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah,
Think
about it, that's a concept, it's brilliant. Just cities or these towns that were deserted immediately. You know, everything's still there. It's just so much you could have done with it.
But it still doesn't work.
All right, and then we'll take a quick break, come back, and I'll tell you what's coming up on Blu-ray and DVD this upcoming Tuesday, June 12th. A very interesting film, and one of the most disappointing films, if you grade on a curve, this year. We'll tell you what those are when we get back.
Please sit. Put your money on the table. Welcome. The cards can illuminate your future. I have a feeling you're in danger.
Actually, I prefer to read. Your fortune. I see your next client is here to kill you. Oh, how I've missed you, Holmes. I see your web of conspiracy has expanded. I'm knee-deep in a single most important case of my career. The clues point in one direction.
Professor James Moriarty.
Are you sure you want to play this game? I'm afraid you'd lose. I agree it's not my best disguise, but I had to make do. Monsieur
see this in the cards, did you? What are we doing down here?
We are waiting.
I'm on my honeymoon! Get that out of my face.
It's not in your face, it's in my hand.
Get what's in your hand out of my face.
Welcome back to The Big Show. Now it's time to tell you what's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD this upcoming Tuesday.
You've made me feel welcome.
June 12th. Thank you. First up, there's Sherlock Holmes Game of Shadows.
Ah, yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. returns. When I first saw this, I thought this was better than the original.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it. I don't quite think it is now. It delivers more action, more bombast, more boom, more of that Guy Ritchie thing that I have grown to not really care for as much for over these last few years.
Yeah.
It's definitely entertaining. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend renting it.
Yeah. It feels like a second movie in a trilogy.
Yeah, there's a Blu-ray DVD ultraviolet version as well as a Blu-ray ultraviolet version. There's a maximum movie mode viewing option, which is hosted by Robert Downey Jr., where he walks you through the film, which I think might be almost worth just watching for that.
I do love me some Robert Downey Jr.
And then 7 behind-the-scenes featurettes. So, once again, I can't pick it up new because of my ultraviolet ban. But maybe if I can track down a copy of it used, I will.
I'll be renting this, I think, before the next one comes out, because I want to rewatch it just to get kind of the.
I think I'd buy it just because of my Robert Downey Jr. thing. But like I said, because of my UV ban, I'll be buying it used. After that, one of the more disappointing films of the year. And when I say that, because if they really kind of went balls out with it and made the film they could have made instead of this piece of crap, especially considering the two directors involved. For the gentleman who brought us Crank, which action aficionado fans kind of enjoy.
Uh-huh.
Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance is getting released.
Man. That wasn't even, I didn't find that disappointing because I just knew it was going to be trash.
But I really kind of hoped they were going to go real, just crazy with it. They really could have, and they didn't. There's a 3D Blu-ray, Blu-ray Ultraviolet version, as well as a Blu-ray Ultraviolet version. There's a director's expanded video commentary and a 5-part The Path to Vengeance, the making of the film. And also, if you buy the 3D edition, you get an additional supplement, which you can only get there, which is the Riding into Another Dimension behind-the-scenes featurette.
So over the last couple of months, I've noticed that most of these movies are coming out ultraviolet, not, you know, and that's disappointing. You know, I was hoping that
we've had a few that have included both.
Which is nice. That's fine.
Like The Thing remake.
That's fine.
A new version, or whatever you want to call it.
But the...
But you're right, yeah, they're getting more and more, but I get angrier and angrier every time I see it.
Ultraviolet, I do not like this. This is not good.
I don't know if we're going to have a choice, Dave. I don't think enough people care.
Yeah.
Is what the problem
is. It's getting to the point where I think if I really wanted to buy a movie, I might just buy it off of you know, Amazon or iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Just the digital version.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what do you really need a disc for anymore?
But I thought that the digital version still isn't quite up to the quality of the hard disc.
No, you're right, but you can watch it at your convenience on the device that you're choosing.
I guess.
If you're tied to a TV, like you only want to watch movies on a TV, then Blu-ray is still the way to go.
But if you're a movie guy like me, you're going to want to watch it on a big TV. I mean, you're not going to watch everything on your phone.
You know, I watch a lot of stuff on my iPad or on my... Apple TV now, and it's so convenient to just, you know, okay, I'm watching in the bedroom. All right, I want to move to the living room. I just move it to the living room.
Right.
Okay, I want to, you know, fix a sandwich. I just move it to my iPad, and it's unbelievably convenient.
I'm not sure why your sandwiches are broken. We also have a film called, they got a limited release called Thin Ice, which stars Greg Kinnear as a Sterling insurance salesman who plots a get-rich-quick scheme only to find himself wholly unprepared for its violent ramifications. I've heard good things and not so good things about it. It also includes some deleted scenes and behind-the-scenes featurettes. It's called Thin Ice. If you're a big fan of Kinnear's, and really who isn't, you can always check that out. DC Comics occasionally releases these animated films, and we don't always bring them up. This one, I think, is interesting because this is Superman versus the Elite. which is based on a comic book in Superman called "What's So Wrong with Was It Truth, Justice, and the American Way," which was their kind of answer to the ultra-violent kind of comic wave in the aughts, when everything was, all the superhero teams were kind of just like, why wouldn't you kill the bad guy so he never hurts anybody again?
Mm-hmm.
So this was based on the comic that kind of answered that question. Okay. It's a really good, I think it's a standalone issue where Superman basically goes up against this hyper-violent superhero team and takes them all out and kind of shows everybody why it's not right to do things that way. This is the animated version of that. It comes with a Blu-ray DVD, and of course, Dave, ultraviolet digital copy. It includes some two behind-the-scenes featurettes and a preview of whatever the next film is going to be, though I'm not sure what that is as of yet. I'll definitely be renting that.
There are a ton of these animated.
They release a couple a year.
And I've heard that some of them are really good. I haven't seen any of them that are really good. I've only watched one. Planet Hulk, and it was awful.
Well, I watched, what was it? The one by the Darwin Cook series, Final Frontier, which basically is the superheroes coming around in the 50s.
Oh, that's cool.
And 60s, too, with the moon launch and all that stuff. Yeah. So that one's really interesting. I loved that series when it came out, too. And another one I did buy, one of the few, actually, if not the only one I own, is Batman Year One. Batman Year One is one of my all-time favorite little story arcs.
Yeah.
And the animated one of that is good. It's not great, but it's good. And it was great. It was really cool to see these kind of iconic Batman scenes on TV. It was cool. It was interesting.
Huh.
New to Blue, Criterion is releasing a few films this actually upcoming Tuesday. Harold and Maude by Hal Ashby. God. It's getting its Blu-ray release, including an audio commentary by Ashley's biographer and then producer Charles Mulville.
I haven't seen this movie in about 10 or 15 years, and I love it.
Well, there you go. Here's your big chance to pick it up. Also, The Gold Rush, the Charlie Chaplin classic, is being released, including a new high-definition digital restoration of the 1942 sound version, which includes an uncompressed monaural soundtrack. There's a whole bunch of stuff on this one as well, through behind-the-scenes programs, Chaplin cinematographer interview, short documentary about the filmmaker. Lots of great stuff. If you're a Chaplin fan, this is pretty much going to be your ultimate version of the Gold Rush. And then finally, Danny Boyle's first film, a film that I think is... I haven't seen it in a long time. I loved it when I saw it. I'm not sure if it would still hold up. But Criterion is releasing Shallow Grave, which is also like a... I'm not sure if it's the big screen debut of Ewan McGregor. It might be. I can't remember. It's from, I believe, 93, about a bunch of guys who, what the hell is it again? They find, like, a dead body, and he's got a suitcase full of cash. So they go and they pretty much hack up his body and go bury him, and then all the stuff that happens after that. But it's a really fun little twisted thriller. Now, Dave, not a Criterion release, I want to stress. Meatballs is getting its release on Blu-ray.
How's that not Criterion?
Includes an all-new commentary with Ivan Reitman. And then we're also getting, for the Dolph Lundgren fans out there, Red Scorpion is being released as well, which includes an uncensored version.
Uncensored. Okay.
I remember Red Scorpion for me as being really my first introduction in the straight-to DVD action films.
Was it?
Red Scorpion. That was one of the first ones that I saw, yeah.
That was the one, he was a Special Forces Russian guy?
Exactly.
And was he in Africa or Australia?
Africa. He's in Africa. Ends up, like, identifying with the plight of the people and changes sides.
Yeah.
And then finally, too, they're re-releasing the Spider-Man movies on Blu-ray individually, including now ultraviolet digital copies because the film's coming out. Here's the worst part. Even worse than that, you should Google the images for these covers.
Really?
They are the worst art covers I have ever seen on a Blu-ray or DVD. It's basically headshots photoshopped on a cover. That's all they are.
Oh, really?
They're horrible. I don't understand how anybody could have looked at these and said, oh, yeah, that's gorgeous. Let's run with that. All they are kitty-cornered or exaggerated headshots, like in a corner, and another one in a corner.
Yeah.
The first one is Spider-Man in the corner, the other one's the Green Goblin, and the next one is Dr. Octopus in the upper corner, Spider-Man in the bottom. It's just, they're ugly as hell, and I don't understand why
you know, oddly, about that. I own the first two Spider-Man movies
on
DVD. And they both had pretty cool cover art.
Mm-hmm.
So why would they
not anymore?
Why would they change that? Why wouldn't they just, like, emboss it with silver stuff or gold
stuff?
I don't know.
I bought Spider-Man 3. I didn't buy it. I got it when I bought my PS3. It was included in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and eventually I got the other two at a Hollywood Video that was going out of business. I picked them up for like $5 each.
I got a bunch of movies from them.
So there you go.
Which are now sitting in a box.
And now your straight to DVD pick of the week. Troma Entertainment is bringing us Father's Day. The urban... There's a couple odd things about this. The urban legend known as the Father's Day Killer begins some years after the demise of serial rapist slash murderer Chris Fuchman. Now, it's spelled F-U-C-H-M-A-N, so I'm pretty sure they're going to pronounce it Fuckman. Since the 1970s, the use of contraceptives has tripled, which I believe is supposed to be tripled, so I'm thinking it's a typo.
Okay.
The use of contraceptives have tripled in North America alone, and a generation of fathers fell asleep with the covers pulled tight, buttocks clenched.
What the?
I don't know. The story has become a fireside cautionary ritual on camping trips often used by fathers to warn their sons of the dangers of unplanned pregnancy. That deep fear of penetration, violation, and eventual death waned as the murder and rape of fathers continued to decline all over the world. So the guy, I guess, like, would rape and kill dads. Unfortunately, those numbers did not remain low, and it would seem that the legend is not yet complete. Ahab, a man obsessed with exacting a brutal, violent revenge on the man who murdered his dad, and I add parenthetically, I'm assuming raped him, joins John, an eager priest, and Twink, a hot-headed street hustler on an epic quest to find and defeat the mythical monster known as Chris Fuchman, a.k.a. the Father's Day Killer.
That sounds amazing.
So, Dave, do you have a streaming pick of the week for us?
I do. It's Lost in Translation. Bill Murray's 2003. It's with him in Japan. I can't remember. I don't have the description on me. It's with him in Japan, or is it Tokyo?
Isn't Tokyo in Japan?
Yes. Okay. but this movie's pretty cool. A lot of people don't like it.
I was going to ask you about that. This movie hasn't aged well, like American Beauty. When it was
American Beauty hasn't aged well?
Well, what happened is, critically, as time has passed, people look back on this. Like, American Beauty, one example. Another one is Lost in Translation. They feel it's unfairly praised, and it's not half as good as people say it is.
I love this movie. I really like this movie. I love this movie. But Bill Murray in this movie, it's one of those... He made this transition from just, like, kind of slapstick comedy to kind of... It's still comedy, but it's much more cerebral, and it's much more kind of like that uncomfortableness of situation and of
his
life.
His performance is so understated and subtle, and I love it.
It's almost amazing that it's the same guy who was in movies like
Meatballs.
Meatballs or Caddyshack. And I really like it. It's not for everybody. A lot of people didn't like this movie, but I think it might be because a lot of movies you expected to see Bill Murray just kind of.
Right. Ghostbusters Bill Murray.
Yeah. Ghostbusters Bill Murray. Yeah.
Which is not at all. And I love ScarJo in this as well. And I absolutely love the ending of this film. I think it's pitch perfect.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
But, to watch on...
I own it, so I don't know if I'll watch on Netflix and viewing. But I should definitely get around to watching it again.
Yeah, it's a good one. I'm surprised to hear you say that it's not holding up. I'm surprised American Beauty's not holding up.
There's a big backlash against American Beauty.
That seems crazy.
It's the general consensus now is that it's just pretentious and it's not as clever as it thinks it is. Which I can see when you talk about the whole floating bag and how beautiful it is and all that kind of thing. But yeah, I haven't watched either of those films in a long time. Maybe at some point we should revisit them, Dave. We can watch.
That's a good idea. That'd
watch
be fun.
Them and
maybe
kind of see how they hold up. We can call it "Does It Hold Up Theater" or something like that.
It'd be fun to do.
All right, that's good. So that's it. Those are the big releases that are coming out on Blu-ray and DVD this upcoming Tuesday. What day did I say? June 12th. All right, take another break. Come back, and Dave originally was going to call this a list of actors who may actually be retarded. I'm going to go the PC route, and I'm just going to say the. What should we call it? It's just the actors who are... My list just says bad actors. That's all it is. That's the title of my list. So I'll tell you who those are. Because if anybody has a right to judge, it's us when we get back.
You think I'm like some like fucking pathetic idiot or something?
You're not a fucking idiot. I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not sure how many first-round listeners know, but I am a failed artist. I did go to art school. And how good an artist am I? I work for an insurance company now to pay the bills. This I do for love, and I do it for the kids. So, now to actually talk about some artists who have made it, who actually produce, well, I don't want to use the term quality product, but they're getting paid.
They are getting paid a lot of money.
And that's all that really matters.
Yeah, oh, repeatedly.
So, Dave, I'm not sure whose turn is. I think it's my turn to go first this week.
Yeah, do it to it.
Fair enough. My number five is a lovely young actress who we may have spoken about today. Miss Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
As we've discussed, there's really not too much to get into. She seems to have one, maybe two emotions that she can express. And those Twilight films, if she's a talented actress, are doing their damnedest to hide any amount of talent she may actually have.
Yeah, with everybody involved.
Now, I haven't seen Adventureland, which I've heard is an interesting, fun film. And she
I didn't like it that much. And I kind of... She's kind of the same in that.
Is she?
She has more emotion in that. You know, I kind of forgot about that movie. She has a little bit more emotion. At least she's got, like, something happening. But, yeah, still not that hot.
Yeah. Oh, I should preface this, too. This is my memorial Channing Tatum list. Because Channing Tatum...
He moved off of this list?
...was the bane of one of the worst actors I've ever seen. And like I said, I even call it now the Tatum line. If you're an actor that I previously did not like, but you're able to cross over, like 21 Jump Street, I
love this. So it only takes one good movie.
Well, he's over the line, and now that I've read so much about Magic Mike, which I didn't realize also is a Soderbergh film, I am actually now very interested in seeing Magic Mike.
Okay.
So I think Tatum has redeemed himself. The fact that, we haven't talked about this yet either. The reason G.I. Joe has been postponed for a year.
Right. Oh, my God. I texted you this. I couldn't freaking believe it.
All right, so initially, let's take a quick diversion. G.I. Joe, what is it? Attack of Revenge of Cobra and the Sith, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe Retaliation was postponed because they wanted to do 3D conversion. That was the story.
That was the rumor, yeah.
They want to update it to 3D, and it was going to take a year.
Which was upsetting.
And ridiculous.
Yes.
It doesn't take a year to do that. And it gets leaked out a couple weeks later.
Yeah.
That's not the reason.
Right.
Now, what happens is, in the trailer, they kind of allude to it, though they don't really tell you. Channing Tatum's character dies in the beginning of the film. So, the test audience were so dismayed at this that they wanted more Tatum and Rock interaction. They're actually they're reshooting parts of the film to beef up Tatum's
character.
For some reason,
saying Tatum and Rock in the same sentence makes me think of taint and balls.
Yes. So that's actually the real reason why they're postponing it for a year, is to up the Tatum
factor. I read
that.
I was like, are you kidding me?
They want to give him,
more taint.
They want more. They want more emotional buy-in for Tatum's character.
Tatum between, and Rock.
And that is absolutely awesome. So, anyway, and I want to preface my list, too. Not only is the Memorial Tatum list, but this list of actors, if I see these people in a film, I am going to actively avoid that film.
Yeah.
I do not, if I see this, starring, insert name, I'm going to do everything I can to not watch that movie.
Yeah.
So, who's your number five?
My number five is Ben Affleck.
Really?
That guy's freaking terrible.
He revitalized his career with The Town.
Ugh, my God. This guy, he's like... He's just so flat. Like, he doesn't... It's almost like he's...
What about Good Will Hunting?
He was good in that, but he's just made so many poor, poor movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just so many.
So
I
many.
I had to put him on there. I had to. I couldn't avoid
I don't have. I don't have the animosity to Ben Affleck that you do. I don't know if it's because of his... being a part of Kevin Smith's stable for so long.
Yeah.
And I have a soft spot for Kevin Smith.
He was bad in those movies. He was terrible.
I can't say... Let's put it this way. Affleck deserves a Lifetime Achievement Academy Award compared to the remaining four people on my list.
Okay.
So my number four, if I see this name, it's the Making Copies guy. It's Rob Schneider.
Oh my God, he's awful.
I
wanted to put it on my list. I did.
I can't.
Really,
the guy makes me angry.
And he's
on
awful.
Screen.
He's not funny.
He's not. He's not.
He did one thing that I thought was hilarious, and it was a TV show called Men Behaving Badly.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a hilarious show. It lasted for about 2 weeks. It got canceled. And he's been writing Adam Sandler's coattails ever since.
Well, that's really it. His entire career is because he's friends with Adam Sandler.
Yeah, it's really.
You want to talk about being lucky as hell?
Yeah.
And that man is Rob Schneider. Yeah. I'd like to buy the Schneider lottery ticket. I really would.
What was the movie where he was a pimp, and then they made a sequel to
Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo? And he wasn't the pimp. He was the whore.
Right.
Yeah. And then they had European Gigolo. Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. I fully support your pick here.
Yeah. So that's all right.
My number four is Paul Walker. From, has he done anything besides the Fast and Furious movies?
He did that Running Scared movie, which had some real possibilities for being cool, but ended up just kind of being derivative.
The guy, he just seems like a stupid person. A pretty stupid person.
He doesn't project any type of reasonable amount of intelligence. You're entirely right.
No, I can't stand him.
Yeah, I'm not a big Paul Walker guy, but he's not as bad as my boy, that's number three, Jamie Kennedy.
Jamie Kennedy is terrible.
That's another guy I do not understand how he has a career. I guess he got his big start was in the first Scream film. He was the guy that told you what the rules of the horror film were. Yeah. He had that candid camera ripoff show for a while, the Jamie Kennedy experiment. And
never name anything after yourself. It's pompous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but he is one of the more untalented people I've ever seen in Hollywood. And every time he pops up someplace, I always ask myself, why? And maybe more specifically, how?
Yeah.
How did this happen? And that's why I'm an atheist.
You know, unlike most of the people on my list are really good-looking people. And that's why I think they have a career.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't act for a hill of beans.
Fair enough.
Whereas this guy, he doesn't even have that.
Right. No.
All right. But he can act circles around Ashton Kutcher. This guy, you talk about a blank slate. This guy is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
How does he keep acting? He played himself in that 70s show, as far as I'm concerned.
And he's going to be Steve Jobs.
He's
going to
be Steve Jobs. He's going to be one of the most intelligent people who has lived in the last 60 years. He's going to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the most influential people in recent American history. How is he going to pull this off? There's no possibility of this happening.
I have no idea.
No way. Right now he's doing that show. I can't stand the show, but...
Two and a Half Men. You couldn't find a better actor to take over the role on one of the unfunniest shows on television.
Yeah. Like, choosing Ashton Kutcher. I'm almost happy he's there because I hated this show anyway.
It validates your opinion about it. It totally perfect. Does. Perfect. It's like, Ashton Kutcher, of course.
Yes.
Who else would you hire? Maybe Rob Schneider or Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
My number two, then, is a guy who frustrates me because he seems to get these great, interesting roles and does absolutely nothing with them. In fact, maybe he even pisses all over them. Josh Hartnett. I cannot stand this guy. He started out, I thought maybe he could have had some talent. His big thing for me was like Black Hawk Down.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
It was. And then he almost single-handedly makes Sin City unwatchable. And then he does that Lucky Number 7 film. But for me, the big thing is, and I don't know if I can really blame him for this abortion of a film, but the Black Dahlia is, and I love 50s kind of noir stuff, and that movie is so bad.
But I feel like he can act.
I have yet to see him in anything that I thought he was even remotely interesting. And he is so woefully miscast in that film. I hate the guy. Whenever I see him now, I'm thinking it's whatever he is in, it's going to be horrible, and he's going to be even worse in it.
My next pick actually helped George Lucas ruin my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Hayden Christensen.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is an abortion.
That's twice. That two abortion jokes in one show. When are we going to get to the Holocaust?
He's just awful. He's actually more of a pussy than Luke Skywalker. That's impressive. Which is hard to believe.
That's impressive.
I'm at a loss for words, Chris. I'm at a loss for words. And he's still making movies.
Yeah, Hayden's just, I never quite got the whole... He just kind of, another guy just kind of lucked into one of the greatest franchises in the history of cinema.
Yeah.
And has done nothing with it. He's just, he's just, there's no reason for him to be on screen. He doesn't bring anything to a film.
No.
And he's basically just there to, he's just one of my favorite podcasts he's listened to all the time is called Film Spotting. And they described an actress once, and I can't remember who it was now, but they, Laura Linney. Yeah, but they described her as an age-appropriate line delivery device. And that's how I would describe him. He just is nothing, he brings nothing to it, but he's not half as bad as the one actor, if I ever see, I've only seen him in a couple things, but every time I see him, I want to punch him in the face.
Really?
The way he acts, I just want to reach through the screen and just hit him with a snow shovel. This guy, all right, I'm not even sure you might even not know who he is. His name is Cam Gigandet. Here's his picture on IMDb. Cam Gigandet.
Doesn't even look familiar.
He was in Easy A. He was in Pandorum and Priest. But the film for me that did him in was The Roommate. The film with Minka Kelly and Leighton Meester, where Leighton Meester plays. It's basically a remake of Single White Female in College. Dave, I was physically angry at his performance by the end of that film, because all he did was kind of purse his lips the whole time and try and look cute. It's like he was a Jersey Shore model the entire time. You know, like a duck face that people take, those girls and the guys take their pictures with. That's pretty much what he was doing throughout the whole film.
Yeah.
And he was so cocky and arrogant and so cool throughout the whole movie that I was actually angry by the end of that film. In fact, if you go back to that show, because we did the Roommate.
Yeah.
If you listen to me, you can hear it too. I just ripped into him. He was so bad. I cannot. My level of venom and animosity towards this guy as an actor is just, it's bottomless. I cannot begin to tell you how much I dislike this guy, and he really is the epitome of, if I see this guy in a movie, I'm going nowhere near it.
My number one is Kristen Stewart.
Good KS, huh?
I cannot stand this girl.
Mm.
She, this open mouth expression that she just maintains all the time.
This constant.
Like, I want to slap her and give her some Prozac or something.
Right.
Like, it's like, why? Okay, so now part of my anger toward her is probably because I've had to sit through all these Twilight movies.
Right.
And I cannot stand these movies. Like, right. They're really, really not my cup of tea.
No.
But her performance...
Well, you are a Taylor Lautner fan, which a lot of people don't know. But continue.
Her performance in these movies is like... It's just... She just maintains this one expression throughout the entire movie. And it's up to the viewer to just kind of guess what she's doing or thinking.
Yeah, she's... Yeah. I always go back and forth on that. If it's her or just how bad those movies are.
But she brought it right into Snow White with her.
That's true.
I mean, she just brought it. I mean, the reason maybe she's number one on my answered. List is because I just had to watch a movie with her.
She did have the most recent impact to you.
Oh,
fair enough. I think that's fair. Even worse than, like, say, Katherine Heigl?
The best... No. She's way worse. She's just so boring.
Yeah.
She's definitely got a little bit of bounce. I mean, look at it in her eyes. I mean, they're just so blank.
Right. Sure, maybe. I don't really know her backstory. But, I think that's a fair pick. Do you have any honorable mentions? I had Adam Sandler. Catherine Heigl.
The only reason he's not on my list is because he's made just a couple of movies mm-hmm. that he was pretty good in.
The reason why he's not on my list is because of Punch Drunk Love.
Punch Drunk Love.
That's exactly what saved him off of my list.
Yeah. But, I mean... So I love the old Adam Sandler movies. I thought they were really funny.
I like Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
And that was the cutoff point for me.
Yeah. But the movies like Don't Mess with the Gohan or...
Zohan. Little Nicky.
Yeah, Little Nicky. I mean, he's got this like kind of just... He's got a new movie coming out where you can tell it's just the same thing.
It's going to be like, so screaming, bad. With Sandberg.
Yeah. It's that screaming voice where he just is ridiculous. And this guy is a funny guy. He was funny, you know, but... I don't know.
I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a really good guy, but I don't. It's over for me with Sandler.
Oh yeah,
it's been over. It's been over for us for a long time. Yeah. Fair enough.
You got anybody else? I was thinking, who's the guy from The Matrix?
Keanu.
Yeah,
I think that's how you're supposed to say it. Technically, his Hawaiian version. I had Minka Kelly and Ashton Kutcher as well.
Yeah, he's an awful actor.
There you go. That's a very interesting
who's
list.
Minka Kelly.
She was the girl and the roommate. She used to date Derek Jeter for a while. They got engaged, and then he broke it off.
Good job, Derek.
There you go.
Don't lock yourself down. You got all in New York.
That's right. And that's the big list. That's an inventory of our least favorite actors that Dave says may have a dusting of Down syndrome. Let's take another break. Actually, before we take a break, we'd love to hear who you are, who your least favorite are. Who are the actors that when you see them in a movie, you're like, oh, hell no, I am not going to go watch that.
Yeah.
Shoot us an email, thefirstrun@gmail.com. Now we're going to take a break, come back, and next week's going to be a bit of a mess, and we'll explain why that is when we get back.
A king has his reign, and then he dies. It's inevitable.
Prometheus has been.
These are ancient civilizations that were separated by centuries, and yet this same pictogram was discovered in every one of them.
They're smiling.
I think they want us to come and find them.
We're all here because of a map you two kids found in a cave.
Not a map. An invitation.
From whom?
Please tell me you can read that.
Prometheus, are you seeing this?
Whatever that probe is picking up, it's reading life form.
What do you mean a life form?
Oh, the head.
They're changing.
Changing into what?
It's moving. These things moving.
What is that?
There's a ship.
They're leaving.
To go where?
Earth.
We were so wrong. Take us home! If you don't stop it, there won't be any home to go back to.
All right, Dave, I don't know how to handle this. Next week is this upcoming Friday, the day the show posts. Well, it's your week to edit, so who knows. But this upcoming weekend is one of the most, my number three anticipated film of the year, after The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Then Skyfall. We have Prometheus.
Yeah, I am Ridley really looking Scott forward film. To seeing this.
You're not going to be around.
I'm not going
to
be around.
You're not going to have a chance to see the movie.
I'll have a chance to see the movie, but I'm not going to be around to record the podcast.
You won't be here for that Tuesday. When will you be back?
I'll be back Saturday following.
So that's entirely too long. Then.
Right.
So I'm not sure what's going to happen. Originally, Matt Howell and Esposito are actually going to sit in as well because they definitely want to see the movie. Maddie now says he doesn't think he can see it. So I don't know what's going to happen next week, folks.
Yeah.
It may just be me telling you how disappointed or how awesome I am. It opens this Friday.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how we'll handle this. We'll figure something out. Maybe I'll just do something else, and then we'll wait for Dave to come back to do Prometheus. I have no idea how we're going to do it. We'll figure out the beats on that. In the interim, keep in touch. Shoot us an email at thefirstrun@gmail.com. Check us down the social networking sites. You can find us on Facebook and the Twitters. Just do a search for The First Run. We'll come right up.
Google Plus.
Call Dave at 860-555.
Everybody knows those 555 numbers are fake.
They need to come up with another one, don't they?
Why do they even put them in the movie? Why don't you just say, here's my number, just not show it? Or
call Dave at 4. Just dial 4 on your phone. Oh, where is it? You gotta call 611, which is 911 for rich people. And that's a big show for this week. We're taking a little extended break, and probably we'll see you all in a week.
All right. Have a great week.